Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll begin today with regional implications of a major national decision. Last week, President Barack Obama announced a new policy to stop deporting hundreds of thousands of young illegal immigrants. And he said this was one reason why.
They pledge allegiance to our flag. They are Americans in their heart, in their minds, in every single way but one, on paper.
The executive order does not grant permanent legal status to these young people. But for those under age 30 who were brought to the U.S. before they were 16, who've lived here for at least 5 years and are in good standing, the policy allows them to obtain work permits, driver's licenses, and other documents they've been unable to have.
Now, in an election year, it's a controversial move, but the president's decision has had a very real impact on the lives of many young people here in Massachusetts. And three of them are with us now. Carlos Rojas is 18 and lives in East Boston. Welcome to Radio Boston, Carlos.
Thank you for having me.
And sitting right next to you is Armando Guinaglia. He's 19 and currently a junior at Yale University. Armando, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And also with us is Daniela Bravo. She's 24 and from Revere. Daniela, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having us.
So I wonder if I could just start briefly by getting your first reactions to how you felt when President Obama announced this new executive order late last week. Daniela, what was going through your mind at the time?
I was so happy. I was overwhelmed with happiness, but at the same time, I remember I was at work and I came to my friend at work and I said, listen, look at what Obama just said. And she looked at me and she was like, well, I don't qualify for that. So
because she's older than 30?
She is older than 30. Okay. So I was overwhelmed with happiness, but at the same time, I was disappointed because some of my friends and family don't qualify for this.
And Carlos, what about you?
Well, it was the best way to wake up. I woke up and I tuned in just in time to see the announcement, and I just was overwhelmed with relief, you know.
Relief, why? Did it feel, the president said that he felt that this executive order allows young people like you to come out of the shadow of deportation. Is that what you felt, that you felt that was the source of your relief?
Well, I think a lot of us in my situation have lived under, you know, this overhanging shadow of not feeling like I belong in this country, but also not belonging in my original country. As I came when I was 5, I was very young. So being able to step out of that shadow was absolutely overwhelming. Hmm.
And Armando, what about you?
I heard the news a bit earlier that evening at around 2 a.m. My friend called me. She was heading down to D.C. for the announcement. And I was ecstatic. I woke up and I was so angry at first because I had to wake up to hear this. But then I woke up and then I couldn't believe it. And I went back to sleep and I woke up and I pinched myself. I was like, is this actually happening? Because I couldn't believe it. Like the sense of relief. But relief not necessarily for everyone who's affected by this same struggle, who's affected by the fact that they don't have papers in this country, but relief in the sense that now a lot of the student leaders and a lot of the individuals who are fighting to get their education, who are, just as Obama said, exactly the same as their American citizen counterparts, now have the opportunity to work. Now they have the opportunity to feel as if they actually belong in this country. Mm. And it really underscored the opportunity for us now to go out and to go for the full Dream Act, to go for permanent residency for all these individuals, and to push for more comprehensive immigration reform.
Well, I'd like to hear a little bit more about your stories and how you came to the United States, grew up here. Daniela, if we could start with you, where is your family from? How old were you when you first came to the United States?
Sure. I was brought to the United States in the year 2000. I was exactly 12 years old. And my father came to the United States actually in the year 1990 to provide a better future for my family. Back then, it was so much easier to get a green card. So my dad had one. So he was able to provide for my family all throughout my life. But when I came here, I always knew I was undocumented, and I felt really scared because it was something like a taboo. You can't talk about it. Like, my mother always said, be careful, don't tell anyone. So I grew up with that mentality that being undocumented meant being afraid.
Now, you originally came from Chile?
Chile.
And you said your father had a green card.
Yes.
And what about your mother?
My mother does not.
Okay. So what happened to your family as you were growing up?
As I was growing up, my dad passed away, and it was really hard because my dad was kind of like the hope for my family. So after he passed away, my sister got married to her husband, and she became a citizen, but me and my mother are kind of left alone. She's undocumented, I'm undocumented still. So, like I said, with Obama's plan, I'll be able to get some relief, but it doesn't mean that my mom will.
Oh, so you're still worried that she may get deported?
Yes, and separating my family.
Carlos and Armando, I want to get to you in just a moment, but Daniela, while we're talking about your background, for you, what's the single biggest difference that this new policy is going to make? I mean, is it the chance that you'll be able to have documents to work, and how is that going to make a difference in your life?
It will make a huge difference because now I'm forced to work and under the table and doing jobs that I don't necessarily want to do, but me and my mother need to support ourselves, and I go to school and I need to pay for my classes. So this plan will be really a relief because I'll be able to get a better job, pay for my school better, and it's really great.
And so, Carlos, what about you? You're 18 now, and I see you're actually wearing a Boston Latin Seniors T-shirt. Is that where you went to school?
I did. I graduated a week ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So where's your family from, and how old were you when you first came to the United States?
My family's from Colombia, and I came here with my mother alone when I was 5. So I came in 1999.
I was just going to ask, and do you know the circumstances under which you and your mother came?
Yes. primarily, my family was very poor in Colombia, crippingly so. And so it was a decision that my mother was forced to make, stay behind with no future for not only herself, but for her child, or come to a place that had been known as a land of opportunity for immigrants, that was known to us as a welcoming country. And so we came, we overstayed our visa. And I've grown up here in Boston all my life. I've gone to Boston public schools. I think I'm the typical child growing up in Boston.
Carlos, if I may ask you,
yes.
Did your mother ever talk to you about the fact that you were undocumented? And you know, how old were you when you sort of understood what that meant?
I actually knew. I've known all my life. I've known since I came to the country. Not exactly in those terms, but as a 5-year-old, I understood that I would not be able to do certain things and other things would be a little more difficult to do or accomplish. The extent of what that meant didn't really hit me until I started high school, until I began to realize that sleepless nights and late night studying may not pay off the way that it would pay off for other kids. And that was an incredibly...
Why?
Well, I just graduated and I'm not able to go to college next year. Financial aid is incredibly scarce for most undocumented Americans who apply to college. So as of now, I'm not enrolled in a college.
Hmm. So in that case, for you, what is the biggest difference that this new policy is going to make?
Well, I think there are two parts to that. The first part is the yoke of deportation is finally thrown off, which is a huge relief. And again, like Daniela said, I'm not under a threat of deportation, but my mother is still under that threat. But above that, the chance to work and do it the right way is the most exciting thing. The chance to, accomplish more and have more opportunities and be able to fund my own education, with better paying jobs that will utilize my skills, my talents, my intelligence, my diligence, and having a shot at the American dream.
Armando, you're 19 and you're currently at Yale. So for you, how did your family first come to the United States, and how old were you?
So when my family first came to the United States, we entered in 1994. I was 1 year old, and we entered on a tourist visa for a very, very long stay. I grew up somewhat differently in the sense that I never knew that I didn't have papers. I wasn't aware of that fact until a couple of weeks before graduation, in fact. My entire life, my parents raised me as an American citizen and strongly believing in this country and in the American dream. So they always pushed for me. Like my father, every morning when he would wake me up, he'd say, you're going from here to Harvard, like from here to Harvard. And unfortunately, I disappointed him. I ended up at Yale. But their persistence and their perseverance really managed to get me here despite my own situation.
Well, when you found out, I mean, when you graduated from high school, that's when you found out that you
right.
had no documents. I mean, did that have an impact on you at that time?
It was quite shocking, very surreal in a way, because I found out, like I said, a couple of weeks before graduation. At graduation, I had the privilege, I guess, of serving as the president of my school's chapter of the National Honor Society. And because of that, I was supposed to say the Pledge of Allegiance at graduation. And I was really looking forward to that. And my parents told me a couple of weeks before graduation, and I thought, this is the biggest irony in the world. It's the most amazing privilege I have to go out there, and despite knowing that I don't have papers to be in this country, and that neither do my parents, despite all of those obstacles, that someone is still able to come to this country and work hard and get there. And to feel proud about being an American. And so it affected me. It affected me in the sense that it made me believe even more strongly in the American dream and that everything is possible.
Well, so in that case for you, since you are in college, what impact is this policy going to have upon your graduation from Yale?
So one of the biggest things that will come from this policy is, as Carlos mentioned, removing the yoke of deportation. I don't have to worry about that now. I have the opportunity to actually pursue my dreams, to go to law school, hopefully, to become a lawyer later on, and to serve my country. But most importantly, in the short term, it's being able to get professional experiences that I would never have been able to get otherwise. Last summer, I stayed at home the entire summer and luckily read a lot, but I had nothing else to do because I wasn't able to work and I wasn't able to get fellowships from my university. And this summer, I was fearing that the same thing would happen. Fortunately, through a contact of my immigration law professor at Yale, I was able to work at an immigration and asylum project here in Boston. And I've been doing that. But now next year, I know that I have more opportunities to actually get fellowships, to travel, to do research, and to work.
Mm. We've just got about a minute or so to go. My last question, and anyone feel free to answer. It sounds like all three of you have echoed similar sentiments, that while on the one hand you felt great relief, on the other hand you still feel a lot of uncertainty in your lives. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about how you think you're going to manage that uncertainty, or what would remove that final bit of sort of question mark in terms of, are you an American? Do you belong here?
Oh, I mean, for me, the biggest uncertainty doesn't stem from myself. I think I'll be all right. The biggest uncertainty stems from the fact that only a small percentage of our immigrant communities are going to be benefiting from this policy, and in fact, a large percentage is not. And so the biggest uncertainty is what will happen to them. And it's been very unfortunate. It's been very sad. And so I think that we'll be working even harder to push for more policies, to pass the DREAM Act, to extend benefits to those who deserve it and who won't be covered by this policy.
Mm. Carlos Rojas is an 18-year-old recent graduate from Boston Latin Academy. Carlos, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
And Daniela Bravo, 24-year-old from Revere. Such a pleasure to speak with you, Daniela. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Armando Guinaglia, 19-year-old junior at Yale University. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming in, Armando. Pleasure to speak with you as
thank
well.
Thank you for covering this issue.
Stay with us. Coming up, Chief Curator of the ICA, Helen Molesworth, and the State of Contemporary Art in Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.